Good evening. I know it's meant to be an encouragement, but when those brothers who are older and wiser and who have been in the traces much longer and say, well, we want a good one tonight, that's pretty sobering. And I don't know that I can perform that, and nor will I try to perform that. But I will purpose to simply be, I believe Brother Ray Wagner introduced himself as an old clay pot. And I am not quite as old as he was when he said that, but I am a clay pot and would purpose to simply be available as the Lord would choose to use. The other day, I guess it was just yesterday, we had the opportunity, Brother Donald Newcomer and myself, to visit Andy Miller. And I had never met him before, but in our conversation, asked him what he did for a living, and if I understood correctly, he worked where they made coffins. And part of his job was when a coffin would get a ding or a scratch or something would be an imperfection in that product that they were making, it was his job to touch that up to make it look good and saleable. And as I understood, he was there a long time and was quite good at that occupation. A number of years ago, I met another man, and his job was to work in a place where they made cabinets and furniture. And his job was to take a chain and actually hit the furniture to make it look antique. So all depending in which shop you work in, the one you try to take the nicks out and the other one you try to put the nicks in. But either way, there's a process there. And so it is that God is in the process in each of our lives. He is working in our lives to produce that end product that He desires. And I say this humbly because I don't know what frame of mind I would be in, but could we even trust for this dear man from Alaska that the day will come when he will be able to look back in his life and actually see somehow how God worked in this situation, even for God's honor and glory, and by the grace of God, even for his good? I don't say that casually, and I can't even begin to comprehend something like that. But that is the God that we serve, and I trust we've heard other people in like situations be able to give testimony of that sort. I'm not going to be spending much time in the passage that was read tonight, but if you'd like to turn there just a little bit, how is God going to bring about that we would be salt of the earth? I don't know the process of refining salt, but there must be some process there. How is God going to work in us that we become salt? How is God, what circumstances, what events in our lives is God going to use that instead of those who were called out of darkness, that he would use us to be light to those who still remain in darkness? How are we going to learn to be merciful, except that we have been shown mercy? How are we going to know the blessedness of purity of heart? What does God need to do in our lives? What things need to happen to us to shake us up, to break us, to bring us to points where we cry out so that we can experience the blessings that He would desire to shower upon us? Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. What steps need to happen in my life that I could even count that as something that would be blessed? Something that we would avoid, almost at all costs in our physical flesh. And yet to experience something like that, to be reviled, to be persecuted, and come to a place where we would consider that blessed, there's going to have to be some refining. There's going to have to be some processes that take place for those kinds of things that God desires in our lives, for those to shine forth, for those to be a reality in our lives. That will not just happen by itself. Somewhere, I'm not sure where it is right now, Mace, I looked around your kitchen there a little bit to get a few object lessons, but right now I don't know where they are. I checked in the car and they're not there, and I don't think I laid them down somewhere, but you wouldn't have even been able to see it, but I wanted to hold up a kernel of popcorn. How many of us like popcorn? Okay. There's a process that takes place, isn't it not? Never been somewhere and they said, let's have popcorn, and they poured some kernels out on the plate and said, there you go. I'll give you more when those are all. But you put it under intense heat. Intense heat. And it just stays there for a while and then pop, pop. And we enjoy it. I didn't suspect to find a kernel of wheat. We have a wheat grinder, and we grind some of our wheat for various things. And that, too, is a process. And the stones in which that wheat is dropped into are that close you can't see between them. And there's a grinding to take that kernel of wheat and turn it into a powder so that it can be usable to make pancakes or bread or whatever it would be. And also think of potatoes. How many of us eat potatoes? And the cutting, and the mashing, and the cooking. Some of those things that we use every day, and there's processes that we take to turn something that is good, but we can't really use it in that condition, and so we work with it, and we apply heat, and we apply different and various things to it to make it something that we can use, and something to enjoy. And yet if somehow those individual things, that kernel of popcorn or that wheat of grain or that potato could talk, if it could express itself, think of the cries that might come forth from it. Now, I'm not trying to be green here or, you know, try to, don't take that too far. But there's crushing there. There's pulverizing there. And I believe there's a bit of an example there for each of us in our own lives, for God to make us usable, for God to take us where we were and to bring us where He wants us to be. We may have to go through some of those various processes, or maybe we should say we will have to go through some of those various processes. And it won't be the same for all of us. It'll be very varied and very different, and yet they will be painful. They will be hurtful. They will be trying. And maybe take us to the very limit of what we think we can endure. And yet if we can trust, if we have entrusted ourselves into God's care, we can trust that He is a loving God that knows what He is doing. And His grace and His strength and His presence and His Spirit will see us through that process. In most cases, if in not all cases, when something is refined, there is that which needs cut away and cast off in forth for the precious to be revealed. I'd like to look at just three passages quickly. The first one in Jeremiah chapter 15. And I'm just going to, again, it's like I said, I'm just looking at these quickly. In Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 19, Jeremiah is called to speak to a people that have turned their backs on God. And in verse 19, it says, "Therefore thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vile, thou shalt be my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them." Bring forth the precious out of the vile. Is that not what God wants to do in each of our lives? Inside our hearts, to cut away the vile, to cut away the fleshly, to cut away all the dross, to cut away all that is us, and bring forth the precious, that we would be a mirror, and that we would perfectly, or as perfectly as we're wherever we are, that we would image Christ in our lives to others. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Starting at verse 9. And I take these verses, as we should, verses from the hand or from the mouth of a loving God. God shows us things. He warns us about things because he wants us to be warned. He wants us to take heed so that we can know what to expect, so we can know how to live, so that we can experience the blessings that he would have for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now this, I'm not sure this would be speaking more of a time of judgment. Maybe not so much our daily walk with Christ. And yet here again, he's pulling the precious out of the vile and encouraging us to build with godly materials, with a godly mind frame. That idea there, going back from to Matthew 5, to seek first the kingdom of God. That would be actually chapter 6, verse 33. Seeking first the kingdom of God. Living our lives with that kind of attitude. So when this day comes and our building is tested with fire, we will have a building that shows that we have used solid material, that we have used godly material. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. To what lengths would we go in this economy to get gold? Or hopefully we wouldn't get too flustered over that, but if we know people, if we told them where some gold was, how quickly they would rush and how much they would give in order to get gold. And yet here is something we have that is much more precious than that, the trying of our faith. And that's not fun. I don't think there's anything pleasant. Nothing that we would applaud. Nothing exciting about having your faith tried unless we recognize that this is something that's more precious than gold. I think in James it says, count it all joy. And I've read that already and I said, is it joy yet? I'm not mature enough yet to count that all joy. But I hope I'm further along than what I was. That when those trials and when those testings come, that we can look beyond that. We can see through that and say, whoa, there's something, there's a bigger picture here. There's something beyond just what's happening right now. God is doing something. We have to take that by faith. I was challenged this afternoon by Brother Charles Lehigh the importance of doctrinal messages. And I'm not sure I have too many doctrinal messages, but I also am comforted that when Jesus spoke, he often gave parables. And so this evening's a parable. And we know that we aren't supposed to build doctrine on parables, so there may, or sometimes parables don't always fit the pictures that we want to make them fit, and that's going to be true in this case. But I believe it's a parable that shows us the importance of process and how God and lessons we can learn from that. A number of years ago, there were some in our congregation that got involved in boiling maple syrup. And there may be some here tonight who have had experience with that. I know Brother James Long from the Welsh Run congregation does that, and your season's a little shorter than ours, but nonetheless, it's possible. But that was a new thing to myself. My son got interested in that, and he read up on that, and he took off with that, and I enjoyed watching the process. Somewhere towards the end of January, the beginning of February, anytime in there, the excitement starts to build, and you start to get your things together. And I just have a list here of various and sundry things that somebody who does maple syrup gets involved in. There's wood and propane, preheaters, filters, scoops, dippers, spoons, screens, buckets, spouts, tubing, pans, stoves, sugar house, jars, drills, bits, and books. All those little various little things you need to get together and get cleaned up in order to begin the process. And all these preparations are to take sap that's traveling up the tree, to draw it out of the tree and heat it up and to make syrup. How many people and events are you able to name of how God has used them in the process of bringing you from where you were to where you are? I trust the older you are, the harder it would be to remember all the various events. I'm sure there's some that come to your mind. God preparing and putting people and events in your lives as a process to bring you from where you were to where you are. The calling of God to a nation and giving them a law. Then God calling a people out of every nation and giving them a new law. That which he has begun, he will complete. In any season that we work with here on earth, whether it be in the orchards or the gardens or anything we grow or in maple syrup, we don't know what that year is going to bring forth. We always hope for a good year, but we don't know. But with God, there are never any surprises. And with God, there are never any mistakes. Brother Dale Newcomer is also involved in processing maple syrup, and I think it was during one of our prayer meeting nights when he was responsible for bringing a devotion, he also looked to that process, and he came up with three words, or kind of a three-point outline: wounded, interruption, and heat. The tree is wounded in order to bring forth the sap. There's an interruption that took place. That sap was being called up or being pulled up to the top of that tree, and that wound went into that tree, and there was an interruption, and that sap, instead of continuing on its journey, was extracted, was pulled out. And then there was heat applied. Even just those three words kind of might have a grating sound to an ordered day. Wounded, interruption, and heat. And yet, in this process of making maple syrup, that is what it's a part of. In making maple syrup, the process of refining requires boiling out 39 parts of 40. If 40 gallons of raw sap, and you have to boil away 39 parts of that in order to come up with one part of usable product. Now that varies a little bit, but that would be a general rule of thumb. watching the steam rise and the color darken ever so slowly. Has someone ever come up to you and said, "How was your day today? What did you do today?" What do you say? Often we look back and maybe we think about something, or how many times, I think it's fairly common to ask a child, "What'd you learn in school today?" "Oh, nothing." Not always, but sometimes you get that. But think of boiling down 10 to 14 hours to one or two events. What did you do today? We went here, we went there. There's a whole lot of things going to get boiled down, and there's a few things that come to the surface of what we may have accomplished today. Think of the years you've lived, the accumulation of days and hours and minutes and seconds, and someone might, or actually I actually had heard someone say, "What will my children remember of my life?" Think of boiling down your life to what certain people will remember. When all the steam goes up, what are some of those core things that will stand out in your or in my life? It's kind of a sobering thought to me to think about that. Now, a part that doesn't fit the parable is, I'd like to share with God, if we are where God wants us to be, then I believe almost every part of our life can be rewarded, can be usable. People might not remember it. We might not even remember it. Have any of us worked at a job, or maybe we work at a job and we feel like what we're doing is pretty mundane? In fact, we might say, "All I do all day is shuffle papers," or "All I do all day is just move 2x4s. I put them, take them from the pile, and I put them upright and put nails in them." Or maybe I just shuffle stones all day, or shuffle loads, or whatever you do. Sometimes we feel like our work is just mundane. And yet I'm reminded in a verse there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, where Paul is encouraging us that our labor in Christ, our labor for the Lord, is not in vain. If giving a cup of cold water to someone in the name of the Lord does not escape God's eye, and there's a reward promised for that, then our shuffling papers, or our shuffling wood, or our shuffling type on a computer, any of those things, if we are where God wants us to be, that is not vain. And I'm encouraged by that, because for many of us, people may not really see what we do, or we may not feel that what we do really counts. And yet to know that God can use those very efforts, those very things we do that may seem so insignificant, God can use those. And if we do those with a heart and a mind to serve the Lord in what we're doing, and just open to Him, there's a blessing there. The refining process is one of brokenness before the Lord, yielding to the Lord, submitting to the Lord, and then being usable to Him. The refining process, in the case of maple syrup, requires heat. In Romans chapter 5, verses 2, 3, 4, and 5. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice and hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Glorying in tribulation, knowing that there is a refining process that is taking place. Tribulation working patience, patience experience, experience hope. ever being drawn closer to the Lord. And then that passage in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be complete and entire, wanting nothing. The end product that God desires, that we would be content, that we would be content to know Him, that we would be content for Him to do whatever He wants to do in our lives, to be content that we would go wherever He wants us to go. He will do that in our lives. He desires to do that in our lives. Will we count it a joy? Will we delight in what He is doing? Will we purpose to delight in what He is doing? Would we at least be willing to be open to see it and to marvel at it and to thank Him for His love in His working that out in our lives? Difficult people. How many of us like difficult people? I don't know that any of us like difficult people, but God can use those people in our lives to refine us. Circumstances that we don't care for. He can use those in our lives. Will we let Him? Preparations, refining, and then the joy of completeness. Particularly remember early on in our experience with maple syruping, particularly one night Andrew was finishing a pan off there on the stove in the kitchen, and I was looking over kind of his shoulder, and he definitely has done the reading and checked it out, and I just kind of stand back, and I'm a little more impatient. I would probably pull it off sooner than he should, and I'm looking at it. I said, Andrew, I think it's ready. He said, not yet, Dad, not yet. And he's checking it and let it go a little more, and I said, Andrew, it's ready. I believe you could take it off now. I think it's good. No, not yet. Not yet. And I know he gets a little impatient with me, and I don't know how long I waited again. And I think the third time and then all of a sudden he said, it's ready. And he took it off. He had an experienced eye. And he knew what he was looking for. And when it was ready, he took it off. And it was finished. The joy to be experienced when we learn to wait for the right timing of a thing. To purpose to be in tune with God that we are in His timing. And how Satan must delight. I don't believe Satan cares if we try to get ahead of God or if we wait and follow along behind. But the beauty and the blessing, if we can be in tune with the Lord, if we are walking with the Lord, and if we can be sensitive to His Holy Spirit and understanding of His Word and open to other people's counsel, and we can be where He wants us to be at the right time. I so appreciate the verse, I don't have it right here, but when God talks to Samuel about anointing Saul, I believe it says something about He whispered in his ear. He whispered in his ear. Samuel was attuned to the voice of the Lord, and he heard God speak, and he was ready to obey. How often the temptation is to harvest before the fruit is ripe. And that can easily happen in relationships between young people and older people. Not waiting for the right timing. Also, as we live and work in this world, to be discerning to God's timing. And I heard a testimony tonight of someone who just said, I had to do it. I knew it was God's call. And not everybody was at the right, was at the same place in that call. And that was it was frustration there, and there was turmoil there, and yet this this brother was willing to wait that out and to see how God would use all those things to bring about his timing. And I believe he would give testimony that indeed there was a blessing there. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39, we read those earlier verses earlier this week about those that had trial of cruel mockings, those who were ran around or were wandered around in sheepskins and goatskins. But then we come to verse 39. And these all, having obtained a good report, along with the rest of those in chapter 11, received not the promise. Those who were faithful, those who experienced those things, those men and women who we would call sometimes in the hall of faith, and all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They're in some sense, in some way, they're still waiting. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. It's like God still stirring the kettle. Not yet. Not yet. But Lord, there's people dying. Do you see those people suffering? Not yet. Not yet. Lord, they're hurting. Don't you see that? Not yet. Not yet. But the day will come when he'll say, okay, it's finished. It's finished. God, the master refiner, he's not cruel. He doesn't laugh at our pain or our sorrow. But neither is he in a hurry. He has a timing. He has a plan. He knows what he's looking for. Are we willing to be a part of that plan? You don't go through that refining process. You don't come to having the complete product. You don't put it on a shelf and then open up a museum. The purpose for boiling that down, the purpose for refining it, at least in the area of maple syrup, is to take that bottle and then pour it out. Pour it out over pancakes. Pour it into a mixing bowl to make cookies to sweeten the batter. To pour it out. All that process to be poured out, to be used. And I think of the oil that the woman put over Jesus' feet. And can we imagine the of the disciples as they understood the expense of what was being done, poured out on someone's feet? Would we allow God to pour us out on someone's feet, or anywhere else he would desire to use us? After he's refined us, after we've experienced the heat, after we've experienced the grinding, after we have experienced the mashing, to allow him then to pour us out and to use us however he would. Words are so easy to say. It was very difficult, in a sense, to share what I had to share tonight. Would I be willing? Am I willing? My desire would be to be willing. And I trust that that would be your desire to do too. That you would allow God to refine you. And that you would then allow God to use you however he would desire for his honor and for his glory. If you've resisted God's using you in the past, but you know it's his desire to do so, and you would be willing to surrender to that hand, to to his heart, we would invite you to do that tonight. If there's anything else going on in your life that you would have a feel, that you would feel a need to respond to in a public way, we would also invite you to do the same. And you can do that by standing while we sing an invitation hymn. And that hymn number is 296 in the black hymnal.